There's a Medrash Tanchuma in the sixth parsha. Okay, it says in Tarek Aleph, I don't know if it goes by Halachavav, I'm not so sure, Piskavav, I don't know which one it is. It says the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael with three different things. It was given to us with Eish, it was given to us with Mayim, it was given to us with the Midbar. Meaning, given to us with Eish and Mayim is there, it was given to us in the Midbar itself. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein asked the Kasha, in the Sefer Alin L'Shabeach, why these three? Why was it given with these three over anything else? Why do we choose these three? And he answers, it's obvious even. Eish is for Yislavos, and you're learning to get a cheshek that you should really want to learn. That's what the Eish is supposed to be. Mayim is for a nivus, to be able to say to yourself that you can learn from anyone, that you can be wrong, you're allowed to be wrong, and you have a willingness to be mavatzel yourself to other people. That's what Mayim is supposed to be, a nivus. The last is Midbar, and that's the hardest level by far. To make yourself as if you are an open area that is hefker, to literally sacrifice yourself and everything you want and all that you desire for Torah and Ratzon Hashem. To be moser nefesh and to literally be mafker yourself like a midbar for anything that has to be done. You're willing to do that for the Torah itself. Now, I think we understand what it means to learn Bislavos. Maybe we know it intellectually. I'm not going to go into what it means to actually learn Bislavos, but if anybody was watching the conversation that was going on in the Bima at 10 o'clock to 10:20 this morning, then you know what Bislavos is. I was talking about my brother, but it's fine. That's that. But you know what Yislavos is. That's Yislavos. If you want to know what a Nivus is, then a Nivus is anybody who's been to a shir that they feel is beneath them. That the shir is not for them or not speaking to them. That's what a Nivus is, and that can apply to anyone at any point. And even if one day the shir is really good for you and the other day the shir is way beneath you, that's where a Nivus comes into play, and that's where it comes in. Our question is, what does it mean to be a Midbar? What does it mean to have a midbar, to be a midbar, and to be moser nefesh? Okay. Person has to wake up every morning, and he has to honestly think to himself, if I don't go to chakras this morning, if I don't go to seder this morning, my day will not go right. That's what you have to wake up as every single morning for the rest of your life. If you haven't done it up until now, then you better start doing it now. If I am not at chakras, and I mean at chakras, the whole time, everything, up until the very last cottage, until everything, if I am not there, then my day will not go right. If I'm late to chakras, then my day will not go right. If I'm late to Seder, if I'm not at Seder the whole time, if I'm doing something else, then a person has to sit there and think to himself, I will have a bad day. Because if you don't think that way, I mean, first of all, let's just say, it's true. It's 100% true. And a person who doesn't daven chakras with a minyan in the morning, or skips out on something, or does something else, that guy is going to have a bad day. That's number one. It's 100% true. Second of all, if it's not a priority to you, if it's just yet another thing I have to do, it's just another responsibility, you're not going to do it. And maybe you'll do it once in a while, here and there, and whatever it is, but you won't do it consistently. And that is the key to life. To do something consistently, to keep doing it, not just do it once, and then forget about it, and then do it again, and then forget about it. In order to get it consistent, you have to think to yourself, I am going to have the worst day of my life if I don't get up right now. And then there's no, the alarm clock didn't go off. Sure, it didn't go off. Or the alarm clock was too low and I just didn't hear it. Or Rabbi Wolkin, when he walked into my room, didn't hear it. Or when you're at home, I didn't have a car, or I couldn't get there, or I didn't have a bus, or I didn't have a ride. If 140 high schoolers can get here in the morning to get here for chakras, you certainly can get here for chakras. You 100% could get here. I don't care how hard it is, it's definitely possible, but you have to work for it. You wake up at 7:15 and you're like, oh, how am I going to get there for chakras? Of course you're not going to make it. Of course you're not going to do it. You go the night before and you say to yourself, I am waking up. I'm going to get there for chakras. I'm going to be there for Seder. Then you'll be there for Seder. You'll be there. That's the idea behind it. And you have to think that I have to, not that I want to. It's not even about a want anymore. I have to. It is an absolute responsibility and it is a priority to get there and to be there and to do it the whole time. That's what it has to be. The Divrei Chaim Sanz, I said this years ago, 5 years ago actually is when I said this. Divrei Chaim Sanz was 10 years old when he asked his father to go see the Chozen of Lublin, the Rebbe from Lublin. So he went to go see him. He was sitting there in the corner of the room while the Chozen was seeing different people and looking at different people's pethics. And the Chozen suddenly called out, everyone out! Everyone get out! The Gabbai ushered everybody out of the room. This kid, Divrei Chaim of Sanz, was sitting the corner right behind a little chair, and he thought nobody could see him. See, there the Gabbai didn't see him. The Gabbai walked out. Everybody was outside. And they locked the door. And the Chozim Lublin was inside there. So the Divrei Chaim peeked out from behind one of the chairs from where he was sitting to go see what was going on. As he did that, he saw that the Chozim Lublin started pacing the room, arms behind his back, back and forth. And all he was doing was reading Mishnayos Baal Peh, going over whatever Mishnayos he had, Baal Peh, one after the other, after the other, after the other, for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just reading it with a bren, going over it, Alma Rabbi Akiva. And then, after some time passed, he turned to where he knew the kid was. I don't know if he saw him out of the corner of his eye, or if he always knew that the kid was there, and he wanted the Divrei Chaim sons to be there. But he turned over to the child where he was, and he said, you know, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, anyone who needed Eitzah, if he needed some advice, he needed some help, you went to the Beis HaMikdash. That's where you went. You went to Yerushalayim, you went to the Beis HaMikdash, and you asked the Nevi'im. And if the Nevi'im weren't available, then you went to the Kohen Gadol. And you asked the Kohen Gadol. But you went to someone, you got your Eitzah. You got whatever Eitzah you needed, you were able to get from wherever it was. That's when the Beis HaMikdash was around. Nowadays, said the Chozim Lublin, what do? We have no Nevi'im like that. We have no Kohen Gadol with Urim Mitumim. We have no Beis HaMikdash to turn to. So where do we go? She said, Chozim Lublin said, the Torah has everything in it. And if you learn it with the Vekus, if you learn it with the proper amount to connect yourself to it, you get to the ore behind the Torah. You get to the light behind the Torah. You can understand more and more. And you can answer Shilas. Connect to the penitent, the person who's asking you to daven for them. And you can do what he wants. Let me explain a little bit deeper, using my Hasidisha twist, considering I've learned Tanya once. Not because I'm a Lubavitch. Not because I want to be Lubavitch, because I thought the Baal HaTanya looked really cool on the cover. That's the only reason why. That's not the only reason why. I will tell you, the little idea behind it is, as we all know, there are 600,000 neshamos, shel roshei neshamos of Klal Yisrael. 600,000 letters in the Torah, even though it's really 301,806. All together, 600,000 letters in the Torah. Every letter in the Torah connects to a different Jew. If a person is constantly connected in Torah, whenever a Jew comes to you, you'll be able to connect that Jew together with the letter. And when you hear, you have that letter in your head, and you see what the psukim are going on, you're able to connect to the or of the Torah that's behind that letter, to connect to the or of the neshama of the Jew that's sitting there in front of you. You're able to connect the two and to be able to tell exactly what's going on. Said the Chozim Lublin, what you need is a devekus to Torah, to be constantly connected to Torah with no disconnect. It's a plug that stays inside and there's no way to be able to pull it out. But sometimes, says the Chozim, when there's people all around and I'm talking to person after person after person, my devekus is weakened. I can't take it anymore. There's a weakening there. It's not as strong, and I have to recharge. And if I have to recharge, how do I recharge? I recharge myself with Torah. And that's what he was doing, pacing back and forth for those 15 minutes. At some point in the middle, he felt himself drifting. He felt himself going somewhere else, not thinking about the people in front of him and not connecting to Torah. I have to connect back to Torah. I have to plug myself back in. I have to turn up the amps a little bit. I have to knock myself off. And once I do that, then I'll be able to connect back and I'll be able to answer everybody that's coming to me. But if I don't do that, I won't have anything. Think about this. Think about that. How do you recharge yourself? How does a person recharge? There's nothing wrong with going outside and playing frisbee. There's nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with taking a walk in beautiful weather, which is what we have right now. There's nothing wrong with sitting in a sauna like we're doing right now. All these things are good, and they're chills, and they're unbelievable for different people to be able to get what they need. The Chozim Lublin is saying, for me, and for anybody that's davening for Klal Yisrael, doing something for Klal Yisrael, the only way to chill out is through Torah. If you're learning, that's the way of doing it. I asked my Rebbe once, won't say which one, I asked him what he does to chill out. I said, it's difficult sometimes for myself what I need to do, because I don't want to do anything that's not kosher. But it's very difficult to find something that you could just relax with your family, with your wife, with your kids, doing something that's just relaxing. What do you do when you need to relax? It's something that I'm going to remember for, I would hope, the rest of my life. He answered, I learn. I don't have a desire to do anything else anymore. So it's not that when I was your age, speaking to me when I was 30 years old, it's not that when I was your age, I didn't have the desire to go out and do stuff. I'm sure I did, and I don't remember what I did at that time. I'm sure I did, and I went out and I relaxed in a different way. Now, I don't have a desire to do anything else. There's nothing else there. He's built himself up to the point where his relaxation mode is reading a Rambam. That is relaxation. He no longer has that desire to do anything else. I absolutely love that. That is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Where your chill-out session is sitting in a room like this, maybe with air conditioning on, and sitting there and saying, taking out a sefer and saying, let's read a little bit. Let's see what this person has to say. Let's look at a Shalos HaTshuvos Rivash for a little bit. That's the idea of what you're going to do. I know it might be there right now, but do you want to have a desire to watch Iron Man 3 when you're 60? Do you really want that? When you're 60 years old, your kids come home, and they're just like, oh man, there's a great movie out. And you, at the age of 60, are sitting there saying, like, yeah, I can't wait till I see Iron Man 3. First of all, it's the third movie of a franchise. That's weird in and of itself. Second of all, it's a superhero movie. Are you kidding me? Third of all, are you kidding me? That's where you want to be when you're 60? You want to be saying that right now? Sure, you're sitting there like, but it's so cool, and they have these special effects, and they have these guys, and they fly, and he does like a machine, and there's a computer thingy, and it's such a great... I hear you. Now, do you want to be that way when you're older? Is that really what you want to be? You want to be that guy who's going to every movie and sitting there and saying, well, I think it's 3 stars. Do you want to be that guy? That's you. The future Gene Zimmerman is going to be the Gene Siskel and the Roger Ebert. They're both dead, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think so, unfortunately. We are that person. We're that 3-star. Is that honestly what you want? Don't you want to build your way up to where you should be, where you want to be? Isn't that what you want? Honestly, it's taken me a long time, but I've outgrown The Simpsons. I have no desire to watch a Simpsons TV show, and if my brothers would have it on their little iPod or their little whatever it is, and they'll say to me, hey, let's watch this TV show, I have absolutely no desire. I've outgrown it, and I'm proud of it. I'm absolutely proud of it. Sure, I remember every single line from the first 9 seasons, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon. It's still there, and I still have it. That's 100% there. But I have no desire to watch it over again. That's done. The Simpsons movie came out, I don't even remember how long ago it was. And somebody said to me, is this like the greatest time in the world? I'll tell you honestly, then, yeah. Would it come out now? No. It's been a long time. 1998 was the last time I watched a Simpsons TV show. And I have no desire to see it. I'm past that. I've outgrown Cocoa Pebbles. I used to eat Cocoa Pebbles every day, all day long. But I outgrew it. I was saying this morning that I'm sitting there eating Raisin Bran Crunch. A little Raisin Bran Crunch. And just somebody said to me, how could it, there's got to be something else in there and not Raisin Bran Crunch. There's no way you're just eating Raisin Bran Crunch. I said, I don't know why. I hate it. I do hate this. But I've outgrown my taste for most sugar cereals. I'll take a Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and if Waffle Crisp were still kosher, I probably would be okay. And maybe Frankenberries, if it didn't make all of your insides turn pink and purple. Then maybe, I'd have, that desire. But, you outgrow things after a while. And I hope that when I get older, I no longer have the desire even for those things. I hope that eventually I'll grow these things. I hope that at the age of 60, I'm not sitting there with broken teeth and everything gone, and sitting there like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is great. I don't want to be that way. If you notice that cereal commercials usually don't contain older men, you outgrow these things, and thank God it's just gone. So maybe you're not there yet. Maybe your desires are not there yet. Maybe you're still there where you want to do this, you want to watch this, you want to see this. Maybe that's there. And that's fine. You're still young. You still have that drive. You still have it. But know where you want to be and think to yourself, is this where I want to be in 50 years and 40 years and 30 years? Is this what I want to do? And if it's not, or if it's something you can change, then think, how much of an extreme should I pull this to? How much should I do, and how much should I take myself back a little bit? This is where learning and davening should be for you. Building it up. Do you want to be a guy who goes to davening every day? Do you want to be a guy who's going to learn every day? That doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. And if you don't want to be, honestly think to yourself, do you want to have kids that see you when you're at home and you don't learn at all? And you don't go to davening. Do you want your kids not to go to learning and davening? Honestly, do you want your kids to be the way? And if that's not what you want for your kids, you want to tell your kids, no, kids, do whatever you want. Honestly, then you need to rethink what you're doing in life. Because you don't belong here. You certainly don't belong here. Maybe you belong, I don't know. But you don't belong here. You don't want that for you. If you can't do it yet, if you don't want it for your kids, there's a serious problem, and that's completely different. But to build your way up. So now let's prepare for Shavuos. The Slavos is there. you yell at your charusa, you pick up a chair and you throw at him, you figure out what you're going to learn and you get into it. You can't stay up if you're sitting down the whole time twiddling your thumbs while leaning back in your chair. You can't stay up talking about things all night long. If you're going to stay up on Shavuot night, then do it be Slavos. Get there and do something. Make a goal and say to yourself, I am going to finish X and do it. And if there's a shiur you're going to go to, then I am going to figure out X, Y, and Z. This is what I want to get out of that shiur. This is what you have to go into it with. Go in with a plan, because if there's no plan, if there's no idea of what you want to do with it, you're going to come out of Shavuot after 6 hours, 5.5 hours of where you should have been learning, and you're going to say, what did I do? And you won't be able to answer yourself. Well, I learned in that. How much do you get out of that shiur? Go in with a plan. That's number one. And 100%, out loud. Not to yourself. It's not learning. Out loud, that you're saying it, that you can hear with your ears. And thank God there's a good noise in the high school based medrash and the main based medrash. There's good noise there. Don't hide yourself in a little corner, in like a little chair behind a table somewhere. Get yourself into it and say it out loud so that you can hear it. You can hear your own voice while there are other people going out there. That'll keep up. Anivus. It's a global issue. It's a global issue. But there's a serious lack of honor that we give to anybody. A serious lack of Kavodah Torah. An unbelievable lack of Kavodah Torah. I was impressed and proud this morning when everybody did move up and did not leave the Beis Medrash when we saw the Reb Nachman. Forget if it's Nachman or Nachman. Nachman Lebovitz was sitting in front. And I'm happy that I didn't have to announce. Rabbi Newman said to me right afterward, tell everybody they have to go shake his hand. And I looked up and I was like, I don't know if I have to tell them. And everybody went and shook his hand. There might be one or two stragglers that I missed, but everybody got up and shook his hand. Of course, I'm extremely happy that everybody was willing to give that kavod to the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. That, of course, that's right there. And that I assume. But there's an unbelievable lack of kavod. Unbelievable lack of kavod. Where a person walks into a room, any Rebbe, or walks past you, and there's not even an inkling to stand up for him. It's not even there. Where a person gets an aliyah, and there's no kavod given over to that person who just got the aliyah. Have you noticed how everybody, when they walk around right after they get the aliyah, just walk back to the seat? There's no yishar koach. There's no baruch tia. There's nothing. The guy just gets an aliyah, just got an aliyah, and then walks back. And everybody ignores him completely. There's not one person that offers a hand. Not one person goes up to him. Nothing. I watch it every single Monday and Thursday. Nobody does anything. There's nothing there. Now, maybe he's not walking past you. It's a possibility. And for that reason, 100%. There's nothing to shake. There's nobody around you. You're not to get yourself up and go near him. But if he's near you, why are you not shaking that person's hand? Why are you not going up to him saying a shakal? Why is that not there? Hadlan Galila as well. Something there. And then a stam, just stam. For Gedolim and Yisrael and for Rabbanim and for everything out there. It's not, you're missing. That's a global problem. That's a global issue. And that takes a lot of, it's a lot more than just within one shir to be able to work on that. But the final thing is Mesiras Nefesh. Give up something. Like when it's Bein Hasdarim a few days before Shavuos, give up something. Give up something. Take some time and find yourself in the Beis Medrash a little bit more than you were the day before. A little bit more to build your way up. We're getting our way there, right? We're on day number 42. It's soon to be day number 43. It's still early enough that I can say that. You're getting yourself close to that day. As soon as you get yourself close to that, we're within a week of Matan Torah. 43 is within a week of Matan Torah. So add on 5 minutes. That's all it is. 5 minutes per day. In one day it's 5 minutes, in 2 days it's 10 minutes, in 3 days it's 15 minutes. Build your way up, little by little, to add on time. Not just aside from the Siddurim. Aside from the Siddurim that are there. Add on a little bit of time, get there 5 minutes earlier for Mincha, or 5 minutes earlier for Night Seder, or 5 minutes after Night Seder. Spend a little bit extra time, because that's what Mesiras Nefesh is, giving up something that you like for this. You're not in the middle of finals, you're not in the middle of midterms, you may have homework to do, but everybody has homework to do. You can find time for this. I guarantee you that if you really were looking for it, you could do Parsha, you could do Rashi, you could do Ramban in the Parsha, you could do regular Chumash, Rashi and Bereishis, you could do Navi, you could do Tehillim, you could do Kitz Shulchan Aruch, you could do Shulchan Aruch, you could do Mishnah Berurah, you could do Minchas Chinuch, you could do Rambam, you could do any of the Meforshim of the Rambam, you could do Shas, you could do Yerushalmi, you could do, I Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Tanchuma, Yalkut Shimoni. You could go look up the Isha Tanakh and do it in English. There's enough everything out there aside from that. Eventually you're going to have to do the Zohar. How are you going to build your way up there? When you're going to have to build your way up now, while you're still in yeshiva, while you still have all your days, you got to start now. Because otherwise you're never going to get there. I know it's a lot for some of you, and a lot of you are still trying to build your way up to be able to just do a regular Gemara Rashi Tosfos. And that's awesome. So build your way up further. Go further. How many times do you chazer per day? If the number is a big fat zero, it's a little bit of a problem. You wonder why things aren't flowing so well. It's because if you start off from ground zero every morning, then you're not doing so well. If it's always starting here, then starting here, then starting here, if you're building your way up because you remember everything you learned the night before, it's different. Chaim Shmulevitz was once learning with a Bacher. They learned from 2 to 4 a.m. They learned Mishnayos Taros. Okay, they did Mishnayos Taros from 2 to 4 a.m. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz started off at 2 a.m. They opened up the sefer and immediately Reb Chaim was right into it. Right into it and immediately started going through. So his chabrusa said to him, he was like a little out of it. He just said, Rebbe, I need some time. I need time to think about where we are. Thought about it a little bit. And then eventually, now I remember. So Reb Chaim said to him, how do you not remember it? He says, how do you remember it? Because every night before I go to bed, right after we learn, I scream shot into my pillow before I go to sleep. And then I go to sleep. If you're chazering right beforehand, then it's still in your head while you go to sleep, and then we wake up the next morning, then no matter what you're doing, it's still there. How much is there to do chazaron? Push yourself. Push yourself further than you pushed yourself before, and do it even further than that. And if you want, I'll do it for you. I push enough as it is. But push yourself, throw yourself under the bus, and tell yourself you can do more. Because 1,000% you can do more. Of course you can do more. This is Shavuos. Pushing yourself and bring yourself beyond your boundaries, and not just going to bed when Matan Torah is the next day. You know what? Nothing was wrong with going to bed when Matan Torah was the next day. They wanted to be refreshed. They wanted to be ready and awake for it. They wanted to be just in time for Matan Torah. There's nothing wrong with that. But Shavuos is all about the opposite. Pushing yourself beyond what you were doing. Pushing yourself beyond your boundaries. You think you could do a little bit more? Do it. You don't think you can do anything more? Do it anyway. Push yourself anyway. Be that guy. Be that guy. And accomplish something. That's the idea of what Shavuos is all about. And that's what you should say. And that's what you should do for yourself. Bring yourself to the point where you're going to be happy. Happy. That when you're 6 years, 7 years old, you can honestly look at yourself and you can say, I started when I was 20, when I was 19, when I was 21, when I was 22, 20, whatever it is. I started right then, and I said to myself, I am going to make myself at the age of 50 or 60 want to learn. That when I have time off, I want to learn with my grandkids, with my kids, with anybody who's around, I want to learn. And if you're that way, I can guarantee you happiness. Any other way, I can't guarantee you happiness. I don't know what the movie theater is going to be like 20, 30, 40 years from now. I can't promise you the movies are going to be the same. You'll probably be so cool with like 3D and everything. You see it and they like touch you and you're like, oh, you touched me. That's probably not. It's just not worth it. That's a crazy world. That's a really crazy world. But I can guarantee you happiness through this. Guarantee you. And if you don't think I'm happy, I'm the happiest guy you've ever met. Have a good day, guys.